Alright guys, welcome to Two Threats Radio. It's your host Charlie Giuliani. Got ourselves another week here again. Unbelievable. I don't know where the time goes. Yeah, I'm getting some feedback coming back. And it's not from Pal Talk. I got the room muted. I have no idea why I'm getting feedback. Very strange. Hopefully it's not something on my end that I'm overlooking. I have no idea. It's on my end, but I have no idea why it's doing that. I don't know. Anyway, okay, now it's stopped. That is bizarre. Well, whatever you did, if you did something at RBN, thank you, it worked. Or maybe as the Homeland Security is no longer tapping into the line. I don't know. Anyways, got a great guest today, guys. We got George Kugler. He's a media critic. Going to be coming on talking about how wonderful and honest and truthful our media is and how they have never lied to us, never have, nor ever could. And I'm sure you all agree with that. So stick around and have your delusions buttressed if you, in fact, do trust our media. Because we'll be talking about just how wonderful they are, and you can just kick back and relax and turn off the alarm clock and not worry, because if there was anything to be suspicious of, these investigative journalists would have warned us a long time ago. But because they're telling us that everything's fine and the economy is booming, there's nothing to worry about. I know what you're thinking, the economy's a big mess and you're in a lot of trouble, but, you know, you're just disgruntled because you happen to be going through a difficult time, along with all your neighbors, family, and friends, everybody else you've ever met in your entire life. But it's still doing fine in spite of all that. Because, again, if it wasn't, the media would tell you. So stop being so paranoid. Anyway, before we bring him up, before we go to the first break, go over the first few announcements here, as usual. Let's see. RBN, I guess, now has a chat room, guys. Yeah, I think I mentioned this last week. It's right on the homepage, republicbroadcasting.org. It's for all listeners to communicate with each other and with the hosts of RBN, except for me right now, because I'm still not logged on there yet. The password they sent me didn't work, and I have yet to go back in there and try to re-sign up. But anyway, go check it out. It's pretty cool. You can, at least for now, communicate with one another on there. Eventually, I'll get signed up on there, and you can communicate with me. Yeah, they're telling me back at the office they can get that for me. So, yeah, please do. TruthHurtsRadio@AOL.com, H-E-R-T-Z. Or else I can just set it up, if I can. I'm not even sure if I can. I think that's something they might have to set up there. But anyway, guys, the Aaron Russo DVD, Feeding the Fascism, available $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. You can get that by going to the republicbroadcasting.org website, order through PayPal, or by calling 800-724-2719. Or by sending a check or money order to the RBN office, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The new website for Republic Trading is republictradinggroup.net. And the toll-free number to call in is 800-691-7898. If you guys have any questions or comments for the guest during the course of the interview, you can dial those in at 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Just a reminder, guys, I've got three new books I've uploaded this past week here, past few days, on Lulu. You can get those by going to lulu.com and just typing my name in, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and they'll all come up. You can see if any of them look interesting to you. All right, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back with Mr. Kugler talking about our wonderful media.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information, or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
All right, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have our guest on the line, George Kugler, media critic. Welcome to the show, George.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for inviting me. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, you got to explain. I'm kind of confused here. A media critic. I can't understand why we even have such a thing, since our media has such a long history of telling us the truth without any flaws. And never lying or stretching things or withholding things from us. I mean, why would anyone want to criticize our wonderful, truthful, and infallible media?
That's interesting you say that, because it's there's been some very important people that were behind the scenes, which really orchestrated a lot of the changes, societal changes, that go back to the First World War. And since then, we've been living in a prison without bars, without visible bars, in the United States at least.
Literally.
One of the main things I wanted to find out is, what are the roots of this? How did this begin, and how was it orchestrated and coordinated? And what I found is there's several key people. One of them is not too well known in the United States, but he's a major figure. His name is Jacques Ellul, and he's a French philosopher, theologian. And he's like a person like George Orwell, Eric Blair, who really sends out a cautionary warning through his books. He published 40 books, thousands of articles, and he really tried to get the message out that there's going to be some major changes afoot, and they're not going to be good. So what he did is he really, as a young man, he was very much influenced by communism in France, and he was a convert to communism. This was at year 19, when he was 19 years old, and this is about the time when the Third Reich was beginning to be a force and kind of, you know, grab hold in Germany. And he realized something was very strange. He was kind of in the inner circle of communist movement inside of France. He realized something was very wrong, and in a couple of years he became a Christian, and from then on he devoted his life to exposing what was going to be in the plan, which is amazing. He wrote this one book. It's particularly powerful. It's called Technological Society. And in that book, he really explores and tells you what's going to happen. And everything so far has come to pass, except for some of the things he mentions in the kind of culmination chapter, which is still going to happen, he feels, but it just hasn't arrived yet. And the changes won't be noticed by us because they'll use a system of gradualism.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard of him. I'm familiar, of course, with Bernays.
Well, the thing is, the person like him isn't very, not popular in the United States. His books are very suppressed. I mean, for me to even get his book, you can get it now at Amazon, but in years past, you'd have to go to a used bookshop and, a discontinued place. It's just not available in the United States. There weren't many translations either.
It came out in when, the 40s?
He was doing a lot of his writing in the 60s. This book came out in 1962, and it was a major impact in Europe because it was like the writers that were dealt in metaphors and parables and wanted to really get a message across, but he had to do it in kind of hidden means. But his book isn't really a fiction. It really does explore factually what's going to happen. And he lays out all the groundwork, the various elements that are going to come into play.
So he wasn't for it, you're saying?
No, he wasn't for it at all. He was a Christian. He was in the inner circle, though. He knew. He saw the gears in action already. The machine was starting to get built at the beginning of the Second World War. In the First World War, they tried to use propaganda in the United States and in Germany, but it was kind of clumsy the way they did it. You could see it through the advertising, the posters and the marches and everything. It was not quite there yet. People were somewhat skeptical of that. The Second World War, they perfected the system of really getting into the inner cortex of the mind, the psychological kind of attack, assault.
Sure. Well, they had a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists in their employ, and
exactly.
They had been doing a lot of research, and I mean, the manipulation had already been there to some degree, but like you said, it wasn't perfected and it wasn't as subtle. Now it's amazing. I like to call it a non-surgical lobotomy, what they've done with the general public. They've got them so thoroughly dumbed down and mesmerized and confused. You know, most people just throw their arms up in despair ever trying to figure anything out. So, they just assume that what they're being told is true. They don't even know if there's anything that needs to be figured out.
One of the ideas that these people are trying to do, really, is a way to kind of weaken a person that's just trying to understand society around them, is to really kind of weaken the ability to reason. And they did it through a couple of complex methods, all focused on the same thing. So if one method didn't work, another one would work for that particular person. So they tried to do two things at the same time. Here's a little quote from it. It's amazing. Emergence of mass media allows propaganda to be possible on a societal scale for the first time. This coordination of press, radio, and TV creates a continuous and lasting sense which renders the influence unnoticed, forming an inescapable context. The way I think of that is like an example. I know it's kind of a fun, strange example, but if you were to take a chicken and place them into the ocean, well, the chicken has to respond somehow in some way. They have to either learn to fly or learn to swim. Eventually, they'll come to appreciate the ocean, because they survived, they went through the the passage of making it through this, but they'll never be able to understand now. I mean, they're not now in the water. They see it as, you know, air and food. It's just so natural, the propaganda, because they don't consider that they'll ever go to land anymore, the chicken. You know what I mean? So they're in a completely different context. It's like putting a fish in another type of ecosystem, and they have to adapt. If they don't adapt, they won't make it.
Now, what do you make of Fox? Is Fox just a real complete total blunder, or is it a commentary on just how far down the road to mental ruination that this country has gone?
It's an organ of the government. It's a direct organ of the government.
It's such obvious propaganda. Yeah. Are people really that stupid, and that's why they can get away with it?
I mean, I had friends that actually, you know, watched it and everything. And in fact, there's people, even on RBN, people who really are sharp and awake that used to watch it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. We don't think of ourselves as intelligent. But until something happens personally, I mean, I don't want to give you my story, but until I was affected by this kind of manipulation, and you had kind of firsthand, right to your core, then you know something is deeply wrong, and I know it's
orthodox. Well, you know, maybe interesting if you did give some of your story anyway, your background, you know, how you got into this, what woke you up, and I mean, did you have any personal experience?
I worked for my client was the was government agencies, and I found that eventually there was in this administration there's a system of a kind of a quid pro quo. In other words, everything's being corporatized and privatized, and the little guy, the small business person, is being suppressed. They've changed the rules, Charlie, in terms of how a small business person deals with government contracts. So once I found that out, it seemed to be okay. Once you experience corruption on one project and another project, and then you see it's a complete pattern. It's a system.
Sure.
So that's
I was really troubled. Well, I mean, troubled. I pretty much, I wasn't surprised, but should have been a lot more people troubled over the fact that Bush personally appointed Michael Powell, which of course is the son of Colin Powell, to head up the FCC right after assuming power in Washington. And of course, the FCC is the branch that regulates, i.e. controls the media.
Exactly.
That should have told people something right there. You know, he took measures, and then, of course, several measures taken since then were designed to gain, increasing control. Not that the media wasn't controlled already, but they just tightened the noose even more.
Right. There was a really
kind of like.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's kind of like what was done with, the churches. There was already the 501c3 thing in place, but then Bush passes the faith-based initiative program to get more control over that avenue of public information.
Yes, they did make just amazing outreach to try to get a kind of a coalition inside the government. And you know what's so funny? I saw an interview. It was kind of a documentary about him when he was running for office in 2000. Mm. And what it showed him is meeting with delegates and people who were really stumping for him and trying to get him elected, right? And he entered a major church. And this is one of the first times he really had seen the power and influence based specifically on emotion. And you know what he said? Kind of on the side, in informal conversation, he says, I can use this. And to me, that's so telling because it means, look, talk about lacking authenticity.
He's made so many Orwellian.
Absolutely. You know.
Yeah. So, another statement he made is, we can fool some of the people all of the time. And those are the ones we need to concentrate on. He actually said that.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of, if you listen to, and I don't know, there's actually a musician who compiled a lot of his inadvertent mistakes, Freudian slips, and put them together, and you see the kind of the real truth come out.
Yeah, that sounds funny. We'll talk about that some more when we get back. Stick with us, folks. I knew
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got George Kugler, media critic, on the line as our guest today. Yeah, you were talking about this. I don't think I've heard that one, a song making fun of, well, not making fun of, but exposing a lot of Bush's statements. It was a song with, like, intermittent statements that he's made.
Yes, it was a, you know, set to music that's kind of, you know, continuous, but at the same time, he put together kind of a sequence, a timeline of things from the beginning of his term through to the crisis of 9/11, and then changes on justification for the war, and changes on how he responded to the search for Osama and so on. So you see them kind of in sequence, and you see the kind of logic shifting, moving around. You know what I mean? And it's very interesting because you listen to it continuously and you see that that's how they hurt us in terms of shaping our public opinion. You know, a sequence slowly, gradualism. So you could say anything eventually and it could be the opposite of what your first statement is. But if you don't notice, it's like a, I think by weakening us in terms of our critical faculties, it's difficult to kind of put everything into context. So people in America, or not just America, but in a lot of countries who have been exposed to propaganda, have this kind of short-term amnesia. And that's one of the things that Jacques Ewell gets into. He talks about the effects of propaganda, how it changes.
Well, I mean, when you see reporters that are supposed to be informing you of events happening, that's all the job is supposed to be. But when you see them actually criticizing divergent opinions, jumping all over them, name-calling, I mean, that's not reporting events. I don't know how people can see that as news.
It's true.
These overpaid, blowhard, pig-headed, I could just go on and on, hucksters are anything but reporting news. Right. They're formulating opinion. That's right. All they're there to do.
That's absolutely right, Charles. They're there to fulfill a role. In other words, they go through a selection process. Now, in the UK, I was talking to a friend of mine who's very aware of current events, and he just stays on top of it. He's a news junkie. You know, he's very sharp. And what he says is now the editors-in-chief in major papers, even in the Independent and Observer, things you think that were, you know, uncensored, papers that were uncensored and actually, you know, you can rely on most of their news, are beginning to make a selection process of what's a good story and a bad story. In other words, these aren't hard news. They're now becoming op-eds, almost all of them. So.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But, I mean, we've gotten to a point now where, you know, hey, I was in the dark, too, up until about 1991, the end of 91. As of the Gulf War, though, I was still buying it, hook, line, and sinker. I remember, you know, my eyes were glued to the screen, listening to the updates being given by Schwarzkopf. And I was cheering them on. We're the heroes, once again, saving the day. Great America is bringing freedom and democracy. And I bought the whole thing. It wasn't until later that year that I got a reality slap. But, you know, even back then, though, you had somewhat of an excuse because it wasn't quite so obvious. You had to do some digging to really understand what was happening. But today, I mean, you know, you don't have to do any digging. Just look what's going on. It's unbelievable. How can the media possibly be believed telling us that the economy is booming when everybody's getting laid off, the dollar is dropping constantly? I mean, you know, if you can't see it now, folks, you know,
that's very true.
You're taken to the morgue. You're brain dead. Go ahead.
When I was a young kid and came from another country and I came to the United States, I actually had an assignment in a history class to write a paper, and it was really the subject I chose was the genocide and how and the question was how could German citizens not object and resist what was going on, and. See, I was basing my knowledge in researching that paper on information that was accessible to me and the perspective, to some extent, of my instructors and, you know, and colleagues and so on. And my paper was very – and I still have it. It's funny. It's very pedestrian. It's lame. It has it really doesn't explain the story, and it basically – it's based on history books, which have been rewritten by the Carnegie Foundation and the Ford Foundation. And I didn't know that until just a couple of years ago. But, you know,
it's interesting you mentioned that, because that was a focus of my lot of papers I wrote in college as a history major. I focused on, you know, the Nazi regime. And that was one question that always puzzled me. How could they have been so dumb not to see this? Mein Kampf was widely circulated. It was known what a nut job this man was, and no one was doing anything about it. I don't wonder that anymore.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think it's easy to say that, to criticize another, you know, people in general without knowing what went down at that time in that country. And that country was they were crippled. You know what I mean? They intentionally were crippled after the First World War, and there was a very strategic use of that country.
Well, you know, these people had been starved to death. Yeah, they wanted a mad case in power so that they could get out of the Versailles Treaty obligations.
Right. Exactly.
They were desperate. Okay, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Hey guys, welcome back to True Threats Radio. This is your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got George Kugler on the line, media critic. Yeah, so, you know, it looks like the German people, being desperate for a solution to their economic woes, were willing to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to what ordinarily they would have recognized as a tyrant. And I think maybe to a large extent here, this fraudulent war on terror, you know, they claim to be keeping us safe while our borders are wide open. You got to be kidding me. But I think a lot of that has caused people to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to a lot of things that are going on. But I think the tide is turning. Would you agree, or do you think that...
I do agree. I think there's a small underground, very active, very small percentage of the population which are doing a lot of work. It's hard to make a breakthrough until you start to reach some critical mass. And then start to reach some new sources which are... not co-opted. They're actually not interdependent to corporate funds. I'll give you an example. Do you ever use such information as the McClatchy News, Washington Bureau? There's an agency which could have been sold to one of the five major networks because. To give you some context, and you probably know this, Charlie.
I haven't used them per se. No,
they're outstanding. They were bought out recently, but they still they still have credibility. They're not as much known in the in the Beltway in Washington, because most of their papers are small town distribution papers, and they have several websites that are really good. The problem with
who bought them out?
I'm sorry.
Who bought them out?
Oh, it's a large company, but they're not. They still have control about the editorial process and the way they report hard news in terms of their wire services, because they've got a lot of foreign correspondents. So those are solid. But there's very few companies like that. Most of them, I'll give you a little context. In 1983, there was 51 major press, TV and radio outlets.
Agencies,
major
yeah.
ones. And now they've been reduced in terms of, I should rephrase that. I'm talking about the TV only. There was 51 in 83, and now there's 5. And of those 5, even those have ties between them. So it's really, talk about concentration of power. When you do that, there's no discourse. There's basically, when is the last time when you looked, on the nightly international news, if you switch channel to channel, during that program, you'll see almost identically the same stories and the same perspective. So you can tell that there's a managed filtering system, which is there's been information that must have been accumulated and then passed on to. And I'm not.
Yeah, I've often said that. It doesn't mean you can try this some night, folks. Skip around your evening news. Go from CBS to ABC to NBC. And your evening news, you will see that at the same time they're reporting on the same stories with the same perspectives, all in the same order. It's just rehashed, regurgitated scripts is all it is, the same script they're reading off of. There's no divergence of opinion. Are you still there, George?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, one of the things that this writer points out, and he's thinking in kind of the consequences of what it does to a people in terms of their own reality day to day, he says that one of the things it does is create an abstract universe. So it uses one of the aides for Bush had mentioned after he was criticized for giving not so open answers at a press conference. Well, he responded in this way. He said that we create the universe, you respond to it, we create the reality, you respond to it, and by that time we've created our next reality.
Yeah,
so
I remember that.
This is what's called a verbal universe. It's really what the Soviets did after, the kind of propaganda machine was installed after the revolution in 1917. So they have news stories which are really basically faked. They're not. They're there to use as form instead of to inform us.
He got caught using. They got caught using taxpayer funds to
create
stories in the media that
commercials, exactly. And they were agencies that are
favored his policies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the No Child Left Behind Act and the Social Security program that he was trying to push through, using taxpayer funds to put propaganda, outright propaganda in the media.
Exactly.
They don't even blush.
And there's some big shifts. There's like pole shifts in the way information is communicated to us. I'm talking about like from the years of the Vietnam War till now. Now, when you were younger, Charlie, and your listeners, we did a lot of reading, And that was really our basis for getting ideas, information, reading, about experiences and so on. But now that's shifted. Everything is digital. Do you know why that is? Do you see what the underlying difference is in terms of intent? The image, the photograph, the video, still or moving, is really filled with a lot of information. It doesn't allow a person's mind to abstract, which a book does. A book lets you fill in information that's missing and make connections. Making connections is very important in a book, because then you can make you can jump from one stage to the next and make conclusions based
right.
on understandings you've had through other sources. But if you give a person an image, that's all done for them. It's handed to them up on a plate.
So, and it's ongoing. You don't have time to pause and think. And
exactly. So what they've done is, you know, and I don't want to get into too much detail of it because we only have so much time, is to create kind of a hypnotic, flickering trance. It's really magic. In MIT and a few other schools in the East Coast, they do a great deal of research on flicker rates on TV, right? You know that, I'm sure. They also mm-hmm. see how that can affect a person from, in terms of commerce, in terms of commercials. What's more effective, one approach over another. And that's all used as data, and they compile that. So, you know, when we went through all those changes in terms of privacy laws for internet and phone usage, that's not just to target dissidents. That's also used as data collection to be able to find out, as we're test cases over a broad spectrum. In the past, they could never do this because they'd never have the software efficient enough to crunch 300 million people, but now they can, and that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, they've probably been doing it for a while, and then they make it they legislate it after the fact, just like Echelon they've been doing for 12 or 14 years, and they said now, oh, we have Echelon. Maybe not 2 years ago, which they've been doing for a long time. So that's the approach. I mean, they do things covertly. They establish these methods, and then they let us know after the fact. It's like here's an example. You know how all those commissions, the Frank Church Committee, the Iran Contra Arms Committee, and everything?
1975.
Those were mm-hmm. set up to basically create a wall about what's to be revealed to the public, because there was no way around it. They had to put up a demonstration of some sort. However, most of those
what was revealed was shocking enough, but of course they only took you so far.
Yes, exactly. There's a really good article if you ever want to research the connection between the CIA and the media by Carl Bernstein, October 22nd, I think it was, of 1977 in Rolling Stone magazine. And that's not available on their website because that's old archival stuff. But what it does is it names names and it goes over methods and it talks about the program. Even though the commission didn't release that, he somehow was fed that information. He was given more information than even the congressmen and the senators had, which is amazing to me.
Operation Mockingbird, yeah, they had and apparently still do have, I know they still have, control over, New York Times, for example. They got their little minions there.
Exactly.
And, you know, they even sent out, I'm sure you came across this, they sent out a memo right after Kennedy's assassination telling reporters what to say if this gets brought up or this gets asked, this is how you're to address it.
Yes. They were helping them frame the
official story
acceptable to be able to disclose and what's off limits. Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, there's one other thing that's very important in terms of propaganda techniques, and this all comes from kind of the big picture. There's a creation of a new sphere of sacred. Sacred is kind of redefined for us, right? In other words, what I'm saying is what propaganda sometimes does is it creates an entirely new category of events and ideas that's outside of criticism. It's off limits, right? So it constructs the sacred and the profane, the black-white checkerboard, right? So there's now a new zone of the forbidden, which is, artificially kind of reduced. In contrast to, I'll give you an example, like taboos of primitive societies, that are, in New Zealand and so on, which really use the same sacred and profane based on genuine myth-making versus artificially constructed myth-making, right? So when the propaganda is added, it creates a lot of questions in discourse, right? But what mm-hmm. the purpose of this is to kind of get reflexes organized by conditioning. It's kind of an assault on your senses. So what it, as a result of all this kind of pressure that's brought to bear on individuals, it becomes kind of the new truth, right? It activates kind of a, if you ever broach a certain subject that's not forbidden, then there's a kind of an intervention wall that comes even in your subconscious. I'll give you a classic example. And this was done to a person intentionally. There's a professor, David Duke, right? And mm-hmm. he's been smeared for the rest of his life. His name is Mud, right? Okay. And there's a reason for that, because he wanted to broach a certain subject and he wouldn't let go. So he had a history of actually being in the Ku Klux Klan, which they used that as kind of, if you listen to this person, well, then he has this in his background, so he can no longer even be considered as a person that has anything to offer. So you discredit that
person. Yeah, the old discrediting tactic.
But in fact, if you listen to the things he says, if you ever listen to an audio recording of him, read his articles, they are on point, and they are very fair and justified. And the man's a scholar. He's outstanding, in my opinion, because I look at him objectively. The thing is to try to break free of that myth-making. What's another example? Oh, here's another person. Lyndon LaRouche. Do you know the history of Lyndon LaRouche? He's a economic scholar based on the Mises Austrian School of Economics, which is really, the concept is limited government and being able to really have the government not intrude upon industry. And he had a lot of, criticizing the administrations at that time, tail end of Reagan's and Bush Sr.'s, and they arrested him. They went into his business and they took everything. And they put him in jail and they kind of kangaroo courted him, and he was in jail for a certain amount of time. They created this kind of notion of the scapegoat, the pariah, right? And they do that to people who actually stand up and say, look, let's look at this critically and objectively and consider this. That's what they ask. And those people, when there's another force that that won't be questioned, is being challenged, they'll come down very hard on that person. So if you ever think of Lyndon LaRouche, then the propaganda smear has been so deeply ingrained in our psyche that you always think of him as discredited, right? That's how I've been taught, at least. I don't think that, but it takes a lot of work to say, you know what, I'm not buying it. It's very hard to do. But the thing is to look at the person's work and then look at the critics of his that can separate myths from real experiences. And that's the key.
I was just working this morning on a future show. I'm going to talk about the Clinton days in Arkansas and, about the two boys that were murdered on the railroad tracks, right? And cover-up that took place with that. They witnessed some drugs being flown in. And this woman, Jean Dudley, was appointed as the head of a drug task force, to investigate drug trafficking in Arkansas and to bring the criminals to justice. And she was actually told the day they hired her not to investigate any involvement of public officials in the drug trade. Just don't go after the small local, small town dealers, but don't take it any higher than that. She didn't take it to heart, or he didn't take it very serious, because she thought, well, that's ridiculous. Why would he tell me that? Because obviously nobody high up in government here is going to be involved in that, But as she began to dig, she found out that, oh, my goodness, everywhere she looked, it was all leading to the same place, right, to the governor's mansion, you know. And as soon as she started exposing this, Dan Harmon, what was he, the district attorney, started coming down on her with a vengeance. And, you know, he subpoenaed her to get all her records of the information that she was gathering implicating him in this. And she refused to comply because she said so many people were turning up dead who were coming forward with their stories that she was afraid for their lives, you know, to give their names out. So the next thing, he has a warrant out for her arrest. He starts demonizing her. He says she's ripping off the federal government, stealing federal funds, that she's, you know, sending warrants out for you know, for fake reasons, you know, false warrants. I mean, just all kinds of slander. This is how it works. The power of the media is astonishing, and unfortunately, it very often works against us rather than for us. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 80% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Hopefully my sound is coming in somewhat decent. We're having some technical difficulties with Skype here today. I don't know. I'm going to have to go to the phone here before too long. It's really kind of sounding
robotic, I guess is the term, that he was back at the office. Yeah, it's very strange. Are you hearing me okay, George?
Sure, you sound pretty clear to me.
Okay, well, we'll just go forward with it, and if there's any more trouble, I don't know, I'll just have to do that, I guess, go to the phone. But so here we are in the midst of this complete degradation. By the way, you do have the full 2 hours with us, right? I think I had you down for...
I only have one, really. I have to get back, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So we only have another 5 minutes. Well, I'll tell you what, before another moment goes by, why don't you give any website or any other information you want to share with our guests if they want to get in contact with you, get any
of
your
I don't have a website yet, but
material.
I'm developing one, which is gonna should be interesting. It's I can be reached at gkugler@sbcglobal.net. That's just my regular email. And I'm putting together a site which will be able to bring in amateur writers, basically well-sourced, documented articles on the Constitution, geopolitics, geoeconomics, but from amateurs, people who aren't really in corporate media, so that they can post it. And of course, those have to be vetted in terms of you can't just make up things. These have to be well-sourced and documented. Then I'm going to also have audio interviews available and video documentation. And those are really kind of amateur also. So what I want to do is create a website where you can really create, a citizen's journalism. For that to occur, I mean, that's the idea, really. Right now, I'm learning HTML and creating a website, so it's going to take a little while.
Yeah, that's something I've yet to do. One of these days, I gotta learn a little more computer skills here, and instead of relying on other people, set up a website. I just don't have the time. I'm working on so many other things.
Charlie, can I ask you a question? How did you arrive at the knowledge of knowing something is seriously wrong here? Country used to be a great country, but it's just changed.
I had a friend that gave me his book, None Dare Call Conspiracy, by Gary Allen. That's the old classic 1970 work that talks about the Rockefellers. And in there, it mentioned how not just the Rockefellers, but all the big financiers, the Carnegies, the Morgans, back in the 19-teens started buying up major newspapers around the country. For the purpose of controlling them, because they were, exerting a powerful influence in our economy, and they needed to hide that. So they became very interested in using their financial clout to gain political control and control over the public, information organs. And that's what started me on a journey, a quest to start looking under the rug, and oh, boy. The things I began finding out. Anyway, unfortunately, that's all the time, folks. I guess that's our cue there for you to move on. But thanks for coming on, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Okay, take care, my friend. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
With recent internet.